Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, June 21st, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians. After going through this epistle of the Apostle Paul, I realized that this book, 2 Corinthians, is an epistle on spiritual hurdling. So I renamed it the Spiritual Hurdling Epistle, 2 Corinthians. It is the epistle that teaches about suffering for blessing every way possible. And where we are in our nation and in the world today, this is probably one of the most important epistles to be studying in the Word of God. So this is the suffering for blessing epistle, I like to call it the spiritual hurdling epistle. And doesn't get any better than that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's start at verse 7. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. Verse 8. We are afflicted and oppressed in every way, phlebo, but we absolutely are not stenokoreoed, crushed. We have great inner pressures in our soul, apareo. But we are not totally despairing, ex opereo. We are persecuted, dioko, but we absolutely are not ankatalepo, abandoned, deserted, forsaken. We are struck down, katabalo, But we are not destroyed, apolumi. And then, in verses 10 and 11, Paul now compares the winner believers' persecution and suffering for blessing with that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 sounds like this. We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus, that is, suffering for blessing of the winner believer, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be revealed and manifested in our body. The Lord Jesus Christ declared in John 16:33 that in this world the spiritually mature believer will have tribulation, persecution, suffering. But he tells us, be courageous and I have overcome the world. And what that means is that our resurrected, glorified, triumphant Savior backs up every one of his persecuted believers who are facing suffering for blessing. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, attain spiritual maturity, now Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart, and the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, he's out on point. Jesus Christ is out on point. And not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ has your back. You're encapsulated by the living and true God. So our risen, glorified, triumphant Savior backs up every one of his persecuted believers who are facing suffering for blessing. Greater is he who is in you. That is the indwelling of the Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, that is the ruler of this world, Satan, 1 John 4:4. The disciple of Jesus Christ, who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, will take up his cross and follow Christ, Matthew 16:24. And no matter what comes by way of suffering and persecution, the spiritually mature believer lives by the grace and the power of God, and by so doing, glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace and power enables the spiritually mature believer to glorify God in times of persecution and suffering for blessing. All of the different categories of momentum testing and evidence testing, 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 10. No servant of Christ has ever suffered and endured more by way of suffering for blessing than the Apostle Paul. He's the expert, and so in writing 2 Corinthians, he is preparing us to handle anything. By the grace and power of God, the Apostle Paul glorified the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum in all of his suffering for blessing. Not only momentum testing, but the Apostle Paul passed the hurdles of evidence testing. The winner believer glorifies God in his suffering for blessing, so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in his life. As the winner believer clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing, the reflected glory of the life of Christ is manifested for all to see. Clearing the hurdle of suffering for blessing puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm the one that picks the music before class. And I really pick great music. But most of you come in after the music is all over. Well, that's up to you. You're free to do that. Maybe you don't like the music. I like it. One of the songs that was on there this evening was "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." Well, I think I would like to come up with new words and put "This Big Spotlight of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." And that's what happens to the spiritually mature believer. When you reach spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought in completion in your heart, when Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart, and then God is free to give you this fantastic category of greater grace blessing called suffering for blessing, the spotlight's not on you. The spotlight is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a big spotlight. And you have impact. You have great impact. Great impact in the world and great angelic impact at the same time. So when I sing that now, I sing "This Big Spotlight of Mine, I'm going to let it shine." Okay, you didn't care for it, all right. And I have such a great singing voice, too. So clearing the hurdle of suffering for blessing puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a special phrase here. Hei Zoe tu Jesu, the life of Jesus. And the life of Jesus in your life is occupation with Christ. It's virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And that has great impact for all to see, mankind and the angelic realm as well. And the word here, not only do we have the life of Jesus, but we have the life of Jesus is phanerōed. And this is a word that the Apostle Paul is going to use again and again and again in 2 Corinthians. P-H-A-N-E-R-O long O. Phanerōo. And we have phanerōo in the passive voice. And in the passive voice, it means to become visible, to be known, to be well known, to be revealed. And it's in the aorist tense, which is the constative aorist, viewing all of the times that the winner believer clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Now, the winner believer clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing. How? Precisely correct procedure. And what is that precisely correct procedure? God's problem-solving devices. You learn them, you believe them, they're out on the flat line of your soul, forward line of truth, and when you qualify for greater grace blessing called suffering for blessing, you apply that precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdle of suffering for blessing. It's just like hurdling. In track and field, you'll have if you're a coach of a track team and there's 2,000 guys, and believe it or not, some of the large schools, they will have 2,000 turnout. At Indian Springs, you had 15 to 20 turnout. But there's only 100 kids in the school at Indian Springs. Everybody wants to run the 100. nothing to it. Get in the blocks, gun goes off, run. That's all there is to it. Very, very few go to learn how to run the hurdles, because there's a lot of precisely correct procedure you have to learn. And it takes time. And it takes repetition. And it starts when you come out of the blocks, but you got to come out of the blocks with the exact number of steps to the first hurdle. Exact number of steps to the first hurdle. And then when you take off, you have to take off 7 feet away from the hurdle. Not six, not five, not four, not eight. 7 feet away from the high hurdle. And then your lead leg comes down 3 feet on the other side. Takes off 7 feet before, comes down 3 feet on the other side. And there you have to, the lead leg has to work properly, the trail leg properly, the lead arm properly, the trail arm properly, the head position properly. All of this, but you can't do it all at once. You just take it once at a time. First of all, you get to the hurdle at the exact right step, take off 7 foot away from the hurdle, and then the lead leg. You see a lot of really bad hurdling. And they come up with a straight lead leg. That's the worst thing you can ever do. Straight, you got to swing it up, swing it down, slow as can be. You're supposed to run over the hurdles, supposed to sprint over the hurdles. And that means, how do you run when you run the 100? The knee comes up and out and down, knee comes up and out and down, up and out and down. That's how you sprint in 100. You do the same thing when you're running hurdles. Your knee, you lead with the knee. The knee comes up. And as soon as the knee gets above the hurdle, then the foot comes out and then down. 3 feet on the other side. You're running over the hurdle. And then the trail leg. Most of the time you see guys swing their leg around the hurdle. You don't swing the leg around the hurdle. You lead with the trail knee again. Knee, the knee comes up with the foot out to the side. And one kid said, why do I have to put the foot out to the side? I said, okay, don't put it out to the side. Don't put it out to the side and just run it. And he caught his trail toe on the hurdle and down he went. He says, I said, do you understand why you put your toe out to the side? I knew. All of this is precisely correct procedure. And there's the lead arm, and you don't put a straight, it's bent, and everything's relaxed. All the, you want to be loosey, relaxed. All the muscles should be bouncing on your muscles in your neck, in your face, and all that. Nothing, no, you don't tighten up. You just relax, let everything bounce. Lead arm. Trail arm coming through, punching through. Well, it usually takes about halfway through the track season for a hurdler to finally get precisely correct procedure. And but when he gets it, when I was assistant coach, I would be working with the high jumpers or long jumpers, triple jumpers, and the high hurdles are going off. The day that Derek learned everything came together, the gun went off, and I saw him go. I just stood there and watched. I said, he got it. Precisely correct procedure. He ran the hurdles, everything, and he came in first. And the fastest time that he ever run. And I knew, I said, now that he's done it, he's there. You'll just take it from there. Now, suffering for blessing. it's only given to winner believers, not to loser believers, not to carnal reversionistic believers, not to baby believers, not to adolescent believers. It's given to believers who have attained spiritual adulthood. Then you get this privilege of the mantle of suffering for blessing. And you have learned God's problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure. And so you utilize the grace and the power of God and clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. So phanerao is the passive voice, means to be revealed. The aorist tense is the constative aorist, viewing all the times that the winner believer clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing and views them in their entirety. The passive voice, the life of Jesus in the winner believer who is occupied with Christ, is revealed, made known. The spotlight is on Jesus for all to see. The subjunctive mood goes with hina to introduce this purpose clause. The winner believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills manifests the life of Jesus in his life by the grace and power of God. The Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life by the power of the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in his heart, and glorified God the Father as he cleared the hurdles of suffering for blessing. So also, the winner believer, living the spiritual life by the power of the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in his heart, glorifies God as he clears the hurdles of suffering for blessing. So again, verse 10, we always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus, that is, suffering for blessing in the life of the winner believer. Why? For the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be revealed, made known, manifested in our body for the whole world to see. Great impact. Great historical impact. Great angelic impact. One. The royal family's glorification of Christ is through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, unique to our dispensation, the church age. There was never the universal indwelling of the Spirit before. There was never the filling of the Spirit. There was only the endowment of the Spirit in Old Testament times to a few, very few believers. But it was the endowment of the Spirit. No indwelling of the Spirit, no filling of the Spirit. This is unique for the church age as the power to live the unique spiritual life. The royal family's glorification of Christ is through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, unique to this dispensation. The filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Two, the purpose of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the church age is to glorify Christ. That's why. We are indwelt as with the filling of the Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching of the Spirit. Why? To glorify Christ in this dispensation. So the purpose of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in this unique dispensation, the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture, is to glorify Christ. Turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. John 7, 37. John 7, 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Now, this is an invitation for salvation. Who does the inviting? Does the unbeliever do the inviting? Inviting Christ into your life or your heart? Who's doing the inviting here? Jesus Christ is doing the inviting. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Jesus invites the unbeliever to come to him and drink. Now, what does that mean? Well, he tells us what that means to come to him. That is, whoever believes in me. So the invitation from Jesus Christ to the unbeliever to come to him is an invitation to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's salvation. Jesus Christ does the inviting, and that means coming to Christ is you believing in Jesus Christ. And then it says, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Now, by this he meant the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him, the basis of salvation, faith in Christ, were later to receive. You see, it's not the church age when he's speaking. He's not speaking in the church age. Whom those who believed in him were later to receive. What's later? When the church age began at Pentecost. Church age, from Pentecost to the rapture. Were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. When the Spirit is given in the church age, it's given so that we might glorify Jesus Christ. That indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching of the Spirit. That is how we glorify Christ. It hadn't been given because he had not yet been glorified. So the rivers of or streams of living water means the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Turn over to John 16. John 16. Jesus Christ is again holding Bible class. And in John 16, verse 13, he says, but when he, the Spirit of doctrine, comes. I love, what a great title for God the Holy Spirit. He is given the title, the Spirit of doctrine, the Spirit of truth, comes. He will, it says when he comes, because again, it's not the church age. It began at Pentecost with the universal indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, that's the church age starting at Pentecost, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of doctrine will guide you into all truth. He will teach you Bible doctrine so that you can learn it, believe it, metabolize it, and apply it to your life. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me. The purpose of God, the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to us in the church age, is to glorify Christ. The only way you're ever going to glorify Christ is for that indwelling of the Spirit, for you to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the power of the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, and that glorifies Jesus Christ. That's how you glorify Christ. It's what going on in here in your heart. It's not like the Judaizers, the legalists in Christ's day. They were always emphasizing what you're doing on the outside. Are you keeping the works of the law? Legalism is always emphasizing what you're doing, works. And they would say, you have to keep the works of the law. But the Bible says just the opposite. God examines your heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at your heart. God is examining your heart to see if you have Bible doctrine in your heart. How is he going to get there? Through the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at your heart. And he's looking and he knows when you have been living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart and something else. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. And that glorifies Christ to the maximum. So verse 14, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So it is the present ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church age to glorify Christ. 3. He accomplishes this through the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which results in maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And the many expressions of that doctrine that come from attaining spiritual maturity. He accomplishes this through the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which results in maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, and the many expressions of that doctrine that come from attaining spiritual maturity. What is that? Romans 13, 14, putting on Christ. Galatians 4, 19, having Christ formed in you. Ephesians 3, 16 and 19, having Christ make himself at home in your heart. So he accomplishes this through the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which results in maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. 4. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine causes the believer to be a letter of commendation written by God the Holy Spirit and read by mankind and by angels. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine causes the believer to be a letter of commendation written by God the Holy Spirit and read by mankind and by angels. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 2 and 3. The Apostle Paul says, first of all, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You are a letter from Christ. So here you are living in this unique dispensation of church age. We have the universal indwelling of the Spirit, the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that we can become, get maximum metabolized doctrine in our heart and be a letter from Christ. A letter from Christ that is seen and read by mankind and by angels. 5. At this point, Christ is made at home in your heart. At this point, Christ is makes himself at home in your heart, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit becomes reality in your life. At this point, Christ makes himself at home in your heart, and the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the church age is reality in your life. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Verse 16. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power by the agency of his Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may make himself at home in your hearts. Occupation with Christ. What a great way to describe it. Great way to describe occupation with Christ. That Christ may make himself at home in your hearts through faith, maximum metabolized doctrine. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in virtue love, personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love for Christ, occupation with Christ. And to know this love that surpasses gnosis, knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So at this point, Christ has made himself at home in your heart, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is now a reality in your life. The Holy Spirit accomplishes his ministry of glorifying Christ in the believer through the power of the filling of the Spirit and the power of metabolized doctrine in the heart. 6. The fulfillment of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit and its results in the life of the believer are found in 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:13. So let's take a look at that. 1 John 3:24. 1 John 3:24 says, in fact, the one who keeps, obeys, executes his mandates, keeps on menowing. See, this is 1 John. He's the one that meno is his way of describing living the spiritual life. So in fact, the one who keeps, obeys, executes his mandates, keeps on menowing, keeps on abiding in him, that is, he keeps on living the spiritual life. Also he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is abiding in him, that is, he makes himself at home in the spiritually mature believer's heart. In fact, by this we have come to know that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, menos, abides in us, has made himself at home in our hearts. How? By the Spirit, by God the Holy Spirit, whom he, God the Father, has given to us for our spiritual benefit. Hoo-wah. And then 1 John 4:13. By this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and realize that we are abiding in him. See, this is the believer that has lived the spiritual life and has accomplished the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And emphasis here is impersonal love for all. By this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and realize that we are abiding in him. We're living the spiritual life. And he is abiding in us because he has sent to us for our benefit his Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. This is the most unique dispensation in all of history. The fulfillment of the ministry of the Spirit and its results in the life of the believer are found in 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:13. 7. The fruit of the Spirit in the life of the spiritually mature believer puts the spotlight on Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit in the life of the spiritually mature believer puts the spotlight on Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, when you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you attain spiritual maturity. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That spiritually mature believer, now the baby believer, when he's in fellowship, produces the fruit of the Spirit too. But I look at it this way. I am such a great artist. Here is a baby believer when he's filled with the Spirit. That's a faucet, by the way. Hey. Okay. Baby. Spiritually mature believer. Now, this one, when he's filled with the Spirit, very little, the fruit of the Spirit's there, but hardly anybody even knows it. Spiritually mature believer, the fruit of the Spirit is a spotlight that everybody sees. And what do they see? Well, Galatians 5. Turn over to Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is virtue, love. Now, everything else that comes after that first word is agape. First word is agape. A-G-A-P, long E. And that is love, but this is virtue, love. But the fruit of the Spirit is virtue, love. And everything that comes after that is a part of virtue, love. The second one is happiness, joy, happiness. And that's the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ is a part of virtue, love. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue, love. And that is being manifested in the Spirit. In the spiritually mature believer's life, and people see it. Mankind sees it. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. They see it. There's something that they see, the fruit of the Spirit, they never see. They never see that. You can go into a restaurant, and the people that work there, 99% of the people that come in there, there's no fruit of the Spirit. But then a spiritually mature believer comes in and the fruit of the Spirit is manifested. They totally see it. It has impact. And it gives great opportunities for you. We have gone in and we have... We have had some great, great waiters. And certain places we go, and this one young lad, he came in. Every time he came by, we were just talking to him and that. And finally he said, "You know, you people are the happiest people that ever come into our restaurant. You're the happiest people that come into our restaurant. You're always happy. What do you do? I said, "Well, I'm a pastor of a church." "Well." But there's a lot of pastors that are pastors of churches, and you wouldn't know if they were happy or not, you know. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue, love, and joy, happiness, and peace, inner peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, tolerance, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And when you attain spiritual maturity, why, that fruit of the Spirit is manifest. It's a spotlight. What are they seeing? They're not seeing you. They're seeing Jesus Christ. The spotlight, the fruit of the Spirit, is Jesus Christ. They see Jesus Christ. And that's true for mankind, and that's true for angels. So the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the spiritually mature believer puts the spotlight on Jesus Christ. So again, verse 10 says, "We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus, suffering for blessing of the winner believer, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be revealed and manifested in our body." Now verse 11. "For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." This is the postpositive conjunction gar, plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the articular present active participle of zao, plus the present passive indicative of paradidomi with the adverb ae, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative singular of thanatos, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the accusative of Jesus. Well, we start out with the postpositive conjunction gar. G-A-R. Gar. Now, gar is an explanatory gar. Paul is now explaining in more detail what he just taught in verse 10. And it may be translated for or for instance. And we're going to translate it for instance. The use of the nominative plural personal pronoun, ego, is very emphatic. Why is it emphatic? Because you don't have to have any personal pronouns. The subject's always included in the verb. So whenever one of the writers, like the Apostle Paul, would put in a personal pronoun, he is making this very, very emphatic. So we have the personal pronoun ego, and when it's combined with the articular participle of zao, then it is correctly translated, "We who are living." We who are living. Now, a couple of things. One, we who are living is putting the spotlight on all winner believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So we who are living is putting the spotlight on all winner believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Two, by the power of the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts, these winner believers are constantly being given the greater grace blessing of suffering for blessing. They're qualified to receive the greater great blessing of suffering for blessing. by the power of the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts, these winner believers are qualified for receiving the greater grace blessing of suffering and blessing. Three, as they clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing, then the spotlight is placed on Jesus Christ. They glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in their living and in their dying. As they clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing, now the spotlight is switched to Jesus Christ. They glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in living and in dying. So he says, for instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, we, winner believers, and then we have paradidomi. P-A-R-A-D-I-D, long O-M-I, paradidomi. All right, a couple of things. First of all, paradidomi means to hand over. To hand over, to give over, to deliver. To hand over, to give over, to deliver. Two, this is the word used to describe the ultimate example of undeserved suffering for blessing. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ being delivered into the hands of men to be crucified. This is the verb that's used. This word is used to describe the ultimate example of undeserved suffering, suffering for blessing, the Lord Jesus Christ being delivered into the hands of men to be crucified. Turn over to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, starting at verse 22. And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be paradidomied. Here's our word. The Son of Man is going to be paradidomied, delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And he will be raised again on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. But here is our word, paradidomi, the ultimate example of undeserved suffering, suffering for blessing, the Lord Jesus Christ being paradidomied into the hands of men to be crucified. Three, Paul is comparing the persecution and undeserved suffering of winner believers with that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, paradidomi is modified by the adverb ia. A-E-I. A. Which refers to a frequent recurring action or situation. Refers to a frequent recurring action or situation. Five, that frequent recurring action is undeserved suffering for blessing in the life of the spiritually mature believer. So the corrected translation, for instance, We who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, are constantly being delivered over, and this was certainly true of the Apostle Paul, and we've seen it in his life, are constantly being delivered over, and then ace plus the accusative indicates the goal or the purpose, and then thanatos. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S, thanatos. Thanatos is the danger of death or coming close to dying, and that certainly was the Apostle Paul, and we saw that in verses 8 and 9. We are afflicted, oppressed in every way, but absolutely not crushed. We have great inner pressure in our soul, but we are not totally despairing. We are persecuted, but are not abandoned, deserted, forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Verses 8 and 9. So, this is certainly true in the Apostle Paul's life. And then dia plus the accusative of Jesus. Dia plus the accusative, and then Jesus. This is D-I-A. Dia plus the accusative means because of, on account of, for the sake of. And then Jesus, I long E-S-O-U-S, Jesus. For Jesus' sake. Corrected translation. For instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, are constantly being delivered over to death, the danger of death, for Jesus' sake. One. Suffering for blessing includes great pressure and adversity, suffering, and persecution. We're going to see that in great detail when we get to 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, and the four different momentum testing, and of course that was also part of evidence testing in the life of the Apostle Paul. Two, the spiritual life is designed for us to handle this suffering for blessing through precisely correct procedure. God's problem-solving devices. And the greatest of those is virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's, we got so much great studies yet on Thursday night in 1 John on virtue love. Suffering for blessing includes great pressure and adversity. Suffering and persecution, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. The spiritual life is designed for us to handle this suffering for blessing through precisely correct procedure, God's problem-solving devices. Three, by the grace and power of God, we clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing, and in the process, we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace and power of God, we clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, we have great historical impact and great angelic impact. The spotlight is on Jesus Christ, and we have great historical impact and great angelic impact. Five, in the invisible war of the angelic conflict, and we're in a war, and the Satan never sleeps. It goes on 24/7. In the invisible war of the angelic conflict, God has provided for us by His amazing grace the armor of God. And the winner believer puts on the armor of God. The winner believer, therefore, is a winner and the angelic conflict. Ephesians 6:10-20, and we'll end with that this evening. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10-20. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. This is how you're going to be victorious in the angelic conflict. You put on the full armor of God. It goes on in your soul, so that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. He has lots of strategies to make you become a casualty. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against ruling demons and demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, world-ruling demons, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's who our war is against. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. You have to have this on to be victorious. The winner believer does. He lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and puts on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm. Then, with the belt of doctrine buckled around your waist, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity. And then, when you have that, then the breastplate of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity is in place. First comes the belt of Bible doctrine, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, which develops the breastplate of grace righteousness. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, reconciliation, and in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, the faithless life with which you can extinguish, you can put out the fire of all the flaming missiles of the evil one, Satan and his strategies. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema, the communicated word of God. And pray. Pray by the agency of the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.